Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to episode 418 of Geek Town Radio. I'm your host Dave, and with me this week is Gray. How are you doing?
Hey, hello, I'm very good, Dave. Lovely to hear from you.
Yes, lovely to have you back on. I know you've been away, so because it's school holidays, so yes, take the time, why not?
Yes, it's been a little adventure up in the Lake District and Manchester, and I'm now back, and it's been good.
So what have you been watching whilst you've been away?
So since I was last on, in that first week where I broke up, I decided it was time to watch lots of things that have been high up on my to-do list. And so in that first week before I went away, I finished some absolute whoppers of TV shows, including True Detective.
Yes.
Which I know I spoke about last time I was on. It was really good. And I think it was a return to form, a little bit of supernatural element to it. Loved Jodie Foster in her sort of first TV role for many, many, many years. And Kaylee Reese, fantastic. So I really, really enjoyed that. And in the same week, I was really pushing it. I also finished Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which I've been ploughing on since its release date, slowly. And by those last two episodes, I was really into it, and I was really interested in the dynamic they were creating, which felt very much like where we were entering the Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie film. Mm-hmm. I feel like they were picking up on some of the dynamics between the two characters there. It was okay. I still think it could have been more action-packed. I think when you get into that film, you're wanting more action and adventure and intrepidation. I thought it was very slow-paced, quite romantic, quite ethereal, and I'm not sure that's what I wanted. Do we know the update on whether that is having a season two?
I don't think we do at the moment. I was just double-checking, but I don't think it's been renewed or cancelled yet. I don't think they've said either way. It's an odd one, that, because I went into it having known the movie and I felt the same sort of way. I actually rather like what they did, but it really isn't anything like the movie. It's very much a Donald Glover thing. And if you've seen anything else of Donald Glover's stuff, it's very much his vibe. So it's slightly skewed and off the wall and not really what you expect. You expect a lot more action than there actually is in it. And it is more about this relationship between the two of them. And I don't think that's an issue so much with the show. It's more an issue with the audience's potential perception of what they thought the show was going to be. Because I enjoyed what was there. It's just, I think it's an odd one to come to if you knew the original property and you come to that and it's like, this is nothing like that. So
I think that's how I've come to it. And it was okay. I mean, I enjoyed the last two episodes more than the earlier bits. I think that's why it took me so long to watch it. Yeah. There's something about some of them really need to grab me and get into it really quickly. And that's very similar to the other one. Again, around the same time, as you can imagine what my first week must have been like, trying to get through True Detective, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and then Murder at the End of the World. Right. Murder at the End of the World from the makers of the OA on Disney Plus, released last November. And it had a lot of fanfare and a lot of, like, you know, lots of people wanted to watch it. I had Clive Owen and Emma Corrin, and it was just so slow. It was on my to watch list for weeks, like one episode, two episodes. It took me about 2-3 months, and I thought, right, I've got to get through it. And again, get to the later episodes, it's actually really intriguing and engaging, and they've got you. But those first bits at the beginning were so slow and drawn out. That is a one and done series. There's going to be no more of those. But it was quite a heavy week that week trying to get through all those. And I haven't put it in my list, but I also finished The Morning Show season one, which I've been trying to get through. Now I've got Apple back. So having all those dramas, I needed something to sort of free up myself. So I also finished Queer Eye season 8, which is our, for those people who know, it's the last one with Bobby. Right. And Bobby is one of the five who does all the interior design. So a lot of people joke that they all arrive, Bobby does all the work, and the other four have it really easy because they don't really do much. But he's leaving. And then from the back of this, there's been lots of rumors and dramas about, like, they don't get on, who's really, you know, who's not nice to work with. And so it'd be interesting to see when season 9 comes back, who the new person is, how they get on with the other group, if the dynamics change, etc. So that was a nice, easy, sort of fills your heart type watching. I also finished Extraordinary. Absolutely loved finishing that show, trying to convince my partner to watch it because I think it's something he would really enjoy. It's so good. He unfortunately hears the word superheroes and polar opposite to me. He's like, I'm not interested if it's superheroes. I'm like, oh, but it's not the superheroes you're thinking of.
It really isn't.
Yeah. And he, you know, he loves that sort of teen comedy, teen drama type approach. I'm like, you must watch it. Absolutely fantastic performances. Some great characters in there as well. And then while we're away, absolutely binged it in 3 days. I know, Dave, you're not a fan, but Is It Cake 3 came back. And it was, so every time we got back from a walk in the Lake District, whacked an episode on or put an episode on while we were preparing dinner. Brilliant, amazing baking. It's just a bit of silliness to sort of ease away the day. And finished it within 4 days. So
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm not a fan. It's just not something I've ever been interested in watching. But for people that enjoy it, I do like the fact that it's a very, very silly, it's like somebody got really stoned in the Netflix office and came up with that idea for a TV show. It's such a wacky idea for a show. But
You think how much cake they go through in that season is just crazy. Just like, anyway, so that was all the good stuff. What I'm currently watching, so thing I'm sort of dipping into, so started the new season of Taskmaster last week, and so 5 new comedians for season 17 started. Also started Beyond Paradise, which is the Death in Paradise spin-off with Chris Marshall. Done a couple of episodes of there, and then I was pleased to open up my Disney Plus just as I broke up for Easter, and all of these new programs were back on for me to watch. And so I was straight back into Family Guy and Bob Burgers. They're just background stuff, can get on with things while they're on, but the thing that I have to be, everything quiet, everyone away, everyone nowhere near while I'm watching this, X-Men 97.
I know, you're such a huge fan of this. I know,
I loved it so much when it was originally released in the early 90s. I was a teenager, and then I remember getting bootleg DVDs when I was about 18, because you couldn't get it anywhere. And obviously when they were played on the British TV channels, they were just haphazardly thrown on about wherever. I remember them being on a really niche cartoon channel when I had Sky in my early adults, and I remember trying to find them. And then obviously when I knew they were doing a renewal, I binged them from beginning to end last year. And I'm really enjoying it. It's so much more honest and reflective of the comic books, which is why they're taking characters in direction that you're watching a series. If anything, they've taken a lot of inspiration from the animations around them that are quite serious and have continuing storylines, like the Invincibles and things like that. Obviously not as gory as Invincible, but I just love what they're doing with the characters, and they've developed more. Jubilee has got a lot more, and she's a very popular sort of cult character that never got her true justice in the film series, but she was loved in the cartoon.
Yeah.
So I love where they took there. And then there's great callbacks to the previous season. So if anyone just watched the episode that aired last Wednesday, it was Motendo, and they sort of did a throwback to the Mojo episodes, and Mojo had two episodes where he throws the X-Men into a virtual world as like a computer game. And so that was really good to see as well. So I cannot explain my love for X-Men 97 at the moment. And every Wednesday I look forward. I'm be sad to go back to work because that means I won't be able to watch it until a Wednesday evening rather than Wednesday morning. But really enjoying that. And then all the FBIs came back. So I started on them. And then I need to start the Chicago's probably tomorrow or Wednesday, and then Grey's and Station. I'm going to be overflowing with procedurals by the time this weekend comes around.
It's weird how they've bought all the FBIs and the Chicago's have all basically come back within a few weeks of each other, which I'm surprised they've done it that way, because we were assuming that when they announced the FBIs were coming, we thought, oh, well, they'll probably do the FBIs and then they'll run the Chicago straight after it, and then they're running to whatever the other set is. So, you know, I thought they'd run them sort of back to back to back, and they didn't. They actually doubled up on them, which I was quite surprised by. But, you know, great. I mean, people are very happy that they're back. So, you know,
they're all there as well. I mean, I just realized I probably got to get back to SWAT as well. That's that final season. I've realized I haven't started that, so it's going to be a very procedural heavy spring in my mind. So
it is
my next thing. So I'm here obviously to give a bit of a Drag Race update for any of our niche fans that do. Obviously I went to DragCon, so I feel it's really key to give a sort of a spotlight onto this, to thank WoW for letting me go to their conference. So just UK versus the world finished this week on BBC. It was a brilliant sort of showcase in the final four that got to lip sync for the win. I'm not going to spoil it in case anyone hasn't watched it, but it was a very well-deserved win. In natural fact, all four people in the top could have won. So that came to its end. Season 16 is now just two episodes from finishing. If anyone's watching that on WoW Presents Plus, they are about to do a huge lip sync Lollapalooza. I have to explain what that is. You're not a drag fan, but basically they all the queens sing against each other, and then RuPaul decides who the best is.
Right.
And then, and then they've started teasing and announcing Global, which is this new strand of the multiverse that is RuPaul, where a queen from all corners of the globe, if you think they've got nearly 12 to 15 different countries have a drag race, they're bringing them all together, 12 of them, to compete in a global scale, one from each of the countries. So that is about to be released in May. So they've started the sort of like the PR for that. So any Drag Race fans out there, if you want to reach out, come and follow me on my socials and talk to me about it, I'm happy to do that. And talking about PR and spin, my final discussion point then, Dave, and I know that you're keen to talk about this as well.
Yes.
So coming this Friday is Late Night Lycett, and he returns. And Joe has been out there in the last week or so laying some absolute cracking Easter eggs about what's coming up, including the revelation that in the last 3 months, him and his production team have been putting out fake news.
Yes.
And in a one video, he told them that the Mail, Metro, Independent, BBC News, The Sun have all ran these stories as if they're fact, but it's actually Joe placing fake news to try and get away from the absolutely polarizing fake news. He's doing it all for a good means, but it's absolutely shaken everyone a little bit, because he started a hashtag, Is It Joe?
Yes.
And you tag a news story with Is It Joe? He's going to reveal in the first season this Friday. It's great PR. I mean, it's phenomenal. PR.
I mean, because we don't know at the moment which of the stories are fake and which are not fake, because he's been hinting at some of the ones which may have been ones that he planted. But then, I mean, it's Joe, so we don't know whether the ones he's hinting at being fake are actually fake. So it's, there could be double bluffing going on there. There have been things like, there was the one of the woman that took a bobble off a hat that she thought was a hedgehog to vet. And of course, they said this is a wobble off a hat. It's not a sick hedgehog. That's been one which has been everywhere and was picked up by a load of news stories. There was a thing about a statue of H from Steps, which feels like it's probably Joe that's done that. The one about them blurring Alan Titchmarsh's genes feels like it, North Korea blurring Alan Titchmarsh's genes because they're Western decadency, which feels like it's probably one as well. And the Paul McCartney rendering of his face, which had got removed, that whole thing sounds like it may be one as well.
Did you watch the Last Legs final episode?
Yes.
Where they had made similar versions and they auctioned those rendered faces. And I wondered, if Channel 4 knew, would they allow that story to be run on the Last Leg? That's my... I think I'm double thinking it now. I'm double bluffing myself.
I think they probably would, because they also ran the hedgehog hat bubble story on there as well. I'm sort of wondering whether, I don't know whether the guys there knew, but I don't see any reason why they wouldn't allow them to run that. And at the end of the day, they're bits of artwork, regardless of what you think of them. They are bits of artwork and they legitimately auctioned them off and they made money. So I don't see that necessarily as being a problem. Again, these are things that he's hinted at that may be fake news stories that he's planted, but we don't know. So I think it's a fascinating idea, and it's very Joe. Not so much with Late Night Lysit, but with his other shows, he's very much been into sort of taking on authority. And I think this has a serious point about the laziness of journalism and how they try and fill things out by basically scrolling through social media sites, and they pick up any old rubbish that's on a social media site. So I'm really intrigued to see what has actually been genuine, what hasn't, as well as there being sort of, you know, comedy points to it. I think there is actually a quite a serious point of the fact that you can get them to do stuff like this. So I'm really intrigued by this, and I think it's a wonderful, incredible piece of PR by Joe Lycett. And the Late Night Lycett show is great fun anyway, shot in Birmingham and very much has that sort of TFI Friday anarchic feel to it. Certainly I would watch that, but this just gives you a double reason to go and watch it, definitely. I think he's brilliant, and this has just been a phenomenal bit of PR for it.
Yeah, but no, that's my main thing that I'm going to end my little section on before I hand over to you. I know I've got loads of my to watch list, but I've still got another week of my break, so I'm going to probably use that to build up that big bank of procedurals and then try and watch a few more bits. But yeah, so Dave, what have you been watching in the last couple of weeks?
Well, I've had quite a lot of new stuff, because we obviously didn't have a main show last week because I was interviewing Sinequa Martin Green and also Jeff Russo, who are both attached to Star Trek Discovery, which launched this week. Ripley, which I haven't actually started, which is the other thing that Jeff Russo does, which is the Andrew Scott starring version of The Talented Mr. Ripley, which is on Netflix. That also dropped on the same day that Discovery came out, last week's Discovery Season 5. Season 5 off to a great start. Very big, showy opening episode with a big kind of action sequence in it. But what's kind of interesting is the overall story for this season is very much attached back to a Next Generation episode. They're searching for a thing. They're talking about it very much as being a sort of an adventure season. There's a slightly different tone to this. It's sort of dialed back the more serious drama, and there is much more of a sort of Indiana Jones adventure feel to it as they kind of are off hunting this particular artifact, which is going to be very dangerous if it gets into the wrong hands. I really love what they've done with the opening of this. I don't want to say too much because I've watched the first four episodes and they sort of bleed into each other, so I can't remember what's been revealed and what hasn't so far. But yeah, really good opening episode of it, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing how they bring that show to a close. You will have the interview you in your feed from last week. If you're a Star Trek Discovery fan, definitely go and listen to that, because Sonequa's got about a 10-minute interview, and then there is a 30-minute interview with Jeff Russo as well, where he talks about not only Discovery, but the millions upon millions of other shows that he works on, from like Umbrella Academy, the Star Trek Picard shows, Section 31, he's doing Ripley, as I mentioned. He also does stuff like For All Mankind, So Help Me Todd, Fargo is his other big thing. So, I mean, there's so many things that that guy works on. So it's a really interesting interview, well worth going to listen to that. In terms of new first season shows, though, there were two which, in some respects, have a similar sort of theme, but are very, very different. One of them, which landed on Disney Plus, is Tracker, which we've been waiting to come over here. This is starring Justin Hartley from Smallville, where he played Oliver Queen in that. He was also in Revenge and, of course, was in This Is Us. He's what I think a lot of people know him from at this point. Tracker's quite an interesting one, because when you've read the initial description, it sounds like it might be a bit like Reacher, is sort of wanderer that goes from town to town solving problems. But it's not so much that. He is actually a professional, I think they would call them a rewardist. And it's literally his job. He has a little team, this lovely, really sweet gay couple that help him out as sort of background support. And he is a sort of, you know, had a difficult childhood, grew up as a sort of survivalist and tracking skills, and ended up coming into this job as what they referred to as a rewardist. What he does is people offer rewards for wanting things found, be that be an actual item or a person, and he will go, and he's effectively a sort of part PI, part sort of hunter, tracker, that sort of thing. And he only accepts the rewards money. So whatever reward money, if somebody's put 20 grand to go and find a missing person, he doesn't take any money until he's found that person or supplied the information of where that person is, that sort of thing. I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's very network TV. It's a CBS drama in the US. It's going down incredibly well over there. It's been renewed for a second season already. Its numbers are off the charts. Really worth watching. A very interesting idea for a show. So yeah, I mean, he is essentially sort of tracking people down. That's the sort of deal of that show. It's on Disney Plus, if you want to go and catch that, and it's going out weekly. So I think there are two episodes up at the moment. There might be three by the time this goes out, but yes. But that's worth going to look at. So have you stumbled across that one yet?
No, I've actually put it on my list. I do remember Justin Hartley through all the programs you spoke about. I think I watched them in all. So I've decided to, yeah, I've just literally written that down while you've been talking about it. It's the kind of thing that I might be interested in. So yeah, that's definitely going to go on my procedural list, my huge procedural list that's just growing by the day.
Yes, definitely. The other one is more a straight sort of PI drama, but again, is about somebody trying to find people. This one is called Sugar, and it's on Apple TV, and it's very, very interesting in the way that they've put it together. It stars Colin Farrell as a character called John Sugar. He is a PI, but it's very much done in the style of those sort of old 50s series, but in the present day. So the way it's kind of shot, and they even sort of insert old clips of movies in there as well, because Sugar is a sort of movie buff and it is set in LA. So it sort of makes sense that he's kind of into that sort of stuff. So they are very much playing on that. But it's a really well-structured, interestingly put together take on a sort of PR story. In this, he actually starts off in, I can't remember whether it's China or Japan, but he starts off having sort of taken on a case over there, hunting somebody down, and ends up getting this call back to LA to find the missing granddaughter of a very well-known Hollywood producer. That is effectively where the story starts. He has some medical issues himself, which they've not exactly sort of explained what that is, but it seems to be causing some form of seizures with him, which obviously he's trying to sort of ignore, as these sort of people do. It's got Kirby Howell-Baptiste in it there, as well as a character called Ruby, who's been in things like Killing Eve. She was in Sandman as well. James Cromwell plays Jonathan Siegel, who is the big Hollywood producer who hires him in the first place. So it's got a really good cast, very, very well shot. I mean, it's Apple TV, so you know it's going to be decent, high quality show. I think it's just brilliantly put together and well worth going to check that out. So now you've got Apple back, that's another one to stick on your Apple list, I think, as well. Yeah. What else have you gone through on Apple?
So I've got Loot queued up. Finished Criminal Record, and obviously the next season of The Morning Show is there ready for me to start as well. There was one other, I can't remember the name of it now, but it only came up as a trailer. It was like they're all in the, like a Hollywood type one, and there was a female protagonist, but I can't remember the name of it now, but there was another one that came up which I hadn't heard being promoted. I've got it back. I've got it back until September, so I know there's plenty of time for me to watch.
Yes. I mean, there's so much. I know we say this before, and honestly, we're not being paid by Apple. If you want a good bang for your buck, Apple TV is definitely the way to go. I know the prices of Apple TV have gone up a bit from what they were, because it used to be like a £5 a month, and I think they're more than that now. Although there are a lot of deals around usually for Apple stuff. But it's well worth putting on for a few months, because the quality of the drama and the comedy on there is outstanding. It really is. And there's so many good shows that you can go and binge your way through on that platform. It's really, really worth watching. I would certainly advise people to go and stick it on for a couple of months and see how you fare with it, because there is some great, great things on there if you've not tried it. There was one other show which I did completely binge my way through because it is all up on iPlayer, which is This Town, which is the new Stephen Knight drama. It's set in Birmingham in the 80s. Well, Birmingham and Coventry in the 80s. It's about the formation of this band who are sort of a mixture of things like, you know, ska and blues and everything else that kind of goes into that. I really enjoyed that. It's 6 episodes for the first season. I don't think they've announced whether it's coming back for a second season or not, but Levi Brown plays Dante, who is the sort of lead character, who, I mean, it doesn't out and out say it, but I suspect he's been written as a high-functioning autistic character. That's certainly how he sort of comes across, very sort of hyper-focused on certain things, and decides that he wants to produce music basically to woo a girl, is where it sort of all starts. His father is played by Nicholas Pinnock, who you'll have seen many, many other things, who I actually didn't recognise when I first thought, I was like, oh, that's Nicholas Pinnock. But yeah, so he's great as the dad in it. He's set against this backdrop of violent riots and things that happened during that time due to, you know, things like car factories getting closed down in Birmingham and that sort of stuff, and how this band forms from a bunch of disparate people that are really looking for a way of escaping their life. You've got one of them who is Irish and is getting pulled into the troubles by his father. You've got another one who's tried to escape her past drug use. You've got somebody else who's in a difficult relation with their parents. So yeah, it's this sort of interesting mix of this group of people. It's wonderfully written by Stephen Knight. If you're going to criticize it at all, it's maybe that he's trying to shove slightly too much into it, and you want a bit more of the sort of music and the band side of things. I suspect you will get more of that if it comes back for a second season, but I think it's a really interesting, lovely written drama from Stephen. It's sort of quite different. Obviously, it's set in Birmingham, which is where his heart and soul is, and I think that definitely comes across. You know, the love for the town comes across in it as well. This Town, all up on iPlayer if you want to go and check that one out. But I definitely think it's well worth going to watch that one. Have you come across that one at all?
Well, I saw it popping up over last week as it was coming up onto iPlayer, and I hadn't heard much about it. So I did read, and I've heard sort of people on Twitter sort of saying how amazing it is. So it's definitely something I might be interested in. It's, again, if I have the time to fit it all in. But I didn't watch Peaky Blinders, wasn't a fan, so I could be convinced. So
yeah, Peaky Blinders, he wrote the initial seasons of and came up with the concept for C as well, the Apple show with Jason Momoa, a million other things as well. He's also one of the three creators of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, randomly. I'd forgotten that, but yes, that's a bizarre random fact for you there as well. But yeah, Stephen always comes up with some great stuff, and I think this was fantastic. There have been a couple of things over the weekends as well. A few weeks ago, I was at MegaCon. I was going to try and get some of the stage panels up on YouTube for that, but unfortunately, the sound quality is so bad the way that MegaCon have that set up. I mean, it wasn't great in the room, and I tried my usual tricks of sort of microphones near the speakers and stuff, but even that, it really didn't capture the sound properly, and I'm kind of reluctant to put those videos out because the sound's not really great. So unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be putting videos up for that, which is a shame, because there were some interesting people at that show. Last weekend was Insomnia. There will be a post going up for that about some of the independent games that I saw at the Insomnia Gaming Festival. That's a great day out if you've got kids and stuff, or if you're just into games yourself. It's a really, really fun one to go and wander around Insomnia, and lovely, friendly people. They always have some interesting stuff on stage as well, so really worth going to check out Insomnia Gaming Festival. And this weekend, Beneki Ladies, who are one of my favourite bands in the world, I've been following them for like 30 years, they played in Wolverhampton, so I went over to see them. There is some video of the Wolverhampton gig going up on the website. The video file is quite large, so it will be going up imminently. You'll be able to go and check that out. They are one of the best bands you can see live. They are really fun. It's always, always a wonderfully entertaining gig. If you've never seen that band live, I just go and see them. They're such good fun to see. I had a meet and greet thing with them as well, which is always fun. So I got to see the sound check for that and everything as well, which is always fun. That's all the stuff that we've been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So we kick off the TV and film news with renewals, cancellations, and pickups. Cancellations and ending. There's one particular annoying one this week. There are reports around that are suggesting that Big Boys, which I know you really like, will end with its third season. They're unconfirmed. It was in some of the tabloids, and it sounds like they are going to shoot a third season, but it sounds like that they might have decided that that third season will be the last one. Whether that turns out to be the case or not, I don't know, but it sounds like they are going into production on that third season, which, I mean, on one hand is good news, and if they get to end it the way they want it, then great. I've not seen any of that. I know you were a big fan of this.
Yeah, I mean, it is really good, but it's his story, so I do get it. And if he's following like the university life and that's where it will end, I can see why you don't want to flog a dead horse and make it not good. And I do respect him for making that decision. It will be sad though, because it is really, really good, but it will be very good quality if it does end.
Yeah, by the sound of it, that is what's happening. It isn't, it wouldn't be a cancellation. It does sound like it will follow his 3 years at university and that will be it. One which is a cancellation, although they were kind of hedging their bets and thought it might be coming, Quantum Leap. Second season hasn't landed here. On the plus side, the first season is now back on Paramount Plus in the UK, having been removed in that purge a couple of weeks ago. The first season has now popped back up. Whether that means the second season is going to land on there as well, we don't know. We're not sure about season two yet over here, but season two is the final season. NBC have confirmed that they have cancelled it after two seasons. It doesn't end on a cliffhanger, because as I say, it was kind of borderline last season, and it sort of got saved because it was one of the few shows that they could get out the door fairly quickly post-strike. So that was sort of what ended up keeping it alive. They knew that it might be a final season, so they opted not to end this season on a cliffhanger. So hopefully it doesn't wrap as such, but it has some form of ending to it, apparently. that's what the people that made it are saying. I really, really liked the first season of that show. I thought it was a really interesting idea to take the whole concept of Quantum Leap and use the original show as history for it and create something new from it. They did a really good job with it. It was a great cast. I'm sort of sad to see that go. It's a shame that that's not going to be coming back. Did you catch any of that?
I didn't catch it in the end, no. I didn't watch the previous one, and I watched another one with a similar sort of style, I think, at the same time. What was the one where each episode was a different story? And I got them so confused. I know they're very different in their storylines, but I remember watching that one, and then that disappeared off the streaming service. It wasn't a Paramount Plus situation. I just remember watching it, getting one episode in, and then trying to go back, and it just wasn't there anymore.
Accused was the other one.
Yeah, I haven't been able to watch that one. So
Accused was the other one that was taken off, but that Accused has actually been added back onto Paramount Plus as well. They were both external acquisitions, and for some reason they got removed and then got put back on again. So both Quantum Leap Season 1 and Accused Season 1 are back on there. The other cancellation is Death and Other Details, which is Hulu series in the US and Disney Plus over here. I rather enjoyed that season of that. It was a bit kind of Glass Onion-y, sort of Knives Out kind of setup for it. Rather liked what they did with the first season of that, with the exception of Mandy Patinkin's rather all over the place semi-British accent. It was well cast, and, you know, he plays this detective who is solving this murder case on a boat, and it's got Violet Beeny in there. It's got Raoul Coley, a bunch of other people that you may recognize as well. Really like what they did with it. They've decided that they're not going to bring it back for another season. They did set a few things up which would allow them to do another season if they wanted to, but that storyline is also fairly self-contained. So it's not like it ended on a cliffhanger. They just set up some things that they could pick up if they wanted to for a second season. It works pretty well as a sort of self-contained thing. So if you do want to go and watch it, it is quite enjoyable, and it's all on Disney Plus in the UK, so you can go and check that out there. Renewals have been coming in fairly thick and fast as well, though. Will Trent has been renewed for a third season by ABC, so that will be coming back. I've just started getting back into season one of that because I've watched a couple of episodes and then
it's
drifted
really
off
good. It. It's yeah. really good. I really enjoyed it when I watched it, yeah.
Yeah, just starting to sort of work my way through season one of that. That is going to be back for a third season, which is good news. Grey's Anatomy, the longest running medical drama on US TV currently, is going to continue to be the longest running medical drama on US TV currently. Season 21, Grey's will be back for, unlike its counterpart, which got booted for 911, which is the firefighter drama. That has been renewed for an eighth season on ABC, so second season on ABC, because it got moved from Fox because Fox couldn't afford it anymore. Disney took it back and put it on ABC, but it sounds like it's gone down really well. The audience has followed it. I think 911 is the largest show of its night on US TV. I mean, it's a huge, huge thing, and it sounds like the audience have gone with it, which is great news. That will be back for another season as well. Just unfortunately, it seems to have killed Station 19, which upset some people, but, you know, they decided they didn't need two firefighter dramas, and they own 911, so they kept that one. In the UK, the BBC have renewed Gladiators, so that will be back for a second season, and they've also renewed Race Across the World for a fifth season as well. That will be back. Did you watch any of the Gladiators? I caught little bits of it.
Yeah, watched it all. We really, really enjoyed it. It was great nostalgia. We loved tuning in every week, just mainly for the Eliminator at the end and the Travelator. We just loved seeing that. Really, really enjoyed it, and they did really well with it, and they did it much better than the Sky version that we all remember about 12 years ago. So very happy.
Yeah, I think they got the tone of it quite right, particularly with the hosts. Having Bradley and his son do it, I think, was a really good suggestion. And, you know, the fact that they had a previous connection to the show, because I think Bradley's wife used to be a dancer on it or something. So they know the show very well, and they'd spent both of them spent a lot of time around the original series. And I think that was great that they brought those two in. I think they're the perfect host for it. New Gladiators seem to have gone down well. So, I think they've done a really good job with that. So that's coming back. Races Across the World, I haven't caught at all. And whether you've seen any of those.
No, but my partner's a huge fan. He wants me to watch season 5 with him. So I think that might be coming onto our to watch list. So
yes, I think it's season 4 actually coming up, and then they've renewed it for season 5 already. So, but there is a new season coming fairly soon for that. Power Book 3 Raising Kanan has been renewed for a 5th season on Stars. So that will be coming back. That Power franchise keeps on going strong. And the last thing he told me has been renewed for a 2nd season on Apple TV, which was a little bit of a surprise because that was always put out as a sort of miniseries. But the reason they've renewed it is because Laura Dave, who is the author of the book and the creator of the series, wrote a follow-up novel for it. So because she wrote the follow-up novel, she then went back to Apple and said, do you want to make the follow-up? And they went, oh, okay, then that's fine. So star Jennifer Garner, they're making the 2nd one as well. I quite enjoyed the 1st season of that. I'm quite happy they're making another one.
It's very slow paced. Yes. And the way they sort of ended it, you felt like it was a complete resolution. You can build another story out of it. I get it, because they have left it quite open. They're both continuing their lives type of thing.
Yeah.
But when I saw it, I was like, that's a bizarre, considering, you know, some of the things that are being cut and not given second series orders. Just a bizarre choice, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's Apple, and, you know, Apple don't often cancel things. You know, they will usually give things closure. They have given some final seasons. It's very rare that they actually cancel something outright. They have done it once or twice, but it's not very often they tend to do that. And as I say, nobody expected a 2nd season of this, because there wasn't, you know, it was based on a book and it finished the book. It's just because she happens to have written a 2nd novel that follows, you know, there's a sequel novel. So they did a sequel series for it as well, which, you know, is fair enough. Over on in pickups and advanced air dates, UK TV has done a deal with Disney to offer 6 of its Disney shows across Alibi, Drama, Dave and UK TV Play. So most of these have been on Disney Plus already, but if you haven't got Disney Plus, then this will be a linear broadcast for them. You'll be able to go and find them for free or on, you know, part of your other packages and stuff. The whole of Sons of Anarchy, which is a fantastic series, if you've not watched that, that will be coming on. There's a show called The Company You Keep, which is Milo Ventimiglia, I think, is one of the leads in that. He was cancelled after 1 season. That is actually a premiere. That's not aired anywhere else. The whole of Brothers and Sisters, I think there's 5 seasons of that show. Alaska Daily, which was a 1 season and cancelled series, so that is coming. Mike, which was the mini series about Mike Tyson, and there is a thing called A Small Light as well. So those will all be coming across either UK TV Play, Alibi, Drama. I think Sons of Anarchy and Brothers and Sisters, I think, are going on to UK TV Play as box sets. So you'll be able to kind of binge your way through all of those. I don't think I've ever seen any of Brothers and Sisters. I mean, it's been around for a while, that series. But I mean, Sons of Anarchy, if you've not watched that anywhere else, because it was on Netflix for a while and then it's been on Disney Plus and now it's going to be on UK TV Play. So, you know, that's one worth going to catch up on if you've not seen that. It's a really good, gritty drama about a biker gang in LA, but it's really well worth going to check that out if you've not seen it. Mm. Mayor of Kingstown has a premiere date for its 3rd season. It's going to be coming Sunday the 2nd of June on Paramount Plus in the USA and Canada, and will be the Monday the 3rd of June on Paramount Plus UK and in the other international territories. I think a lot of people very happy to have this back. I loved the first 2 seasons of this. It was really, really good. This is the one that stars Jeremy Renner, referred to as the mayor, but he's basically the fixer between the authorities and the various prisons in this fictional town where they are, where there is sort of 7 prisons that surround this particular area. So prisons are the things that basically keep this town alive. And he's sort of the fixer that works deals between the inmates and the guards and keeps everything sort of balanced and under control. it is a brilliant, brilliant series. We were a bit fearful when obviously Jeremy Renner had that horrific accident, which almost killed him. And thankfully he's through that and he came back and did the third season. He seems to be doing really, really well. So I'm really happy to have that back. Did you watch any of that on Paramount?
No, I didn't in the end. I didn't start that one. I was watching some other things on Paramount and I didn't go back to season two. And I've just seen a news story you were about to talk about season three coming back. So I was like, oh, should I have watched? Because I remember what was the other one that I nearly watched and then that got cancelled, Rabbit Hole?
Yes.
So I just get a bit cautious about Paramount, especially with their big old deletion of stuff. I just worried if I get too connected to something and it'll just go.
Rabbit Hole, which was the key for Sutherland series on Paramount, that is still up there. That is actually worth going to check out. It sort of wraps a lot of the story in that first season, so it is worth going to check. I was very sad when they decided they weren't going to do more of that because I really, really enjoyed that series. It's got a really fun vibe to it. It's very entertaining. That is on there. There is some decent stuff other than just, you know, your Star Trek's on Paramount. Over on Netflix, they've set a date for Jurassic World Chaos Theory, which is coming on the 24th of May. That's a Friday. It's sort of technically season one of Chaos Theory, but this is a direct continuation of the animated series Camp Cretaceous. It's set, I think, 5 years after the events of Camp Cretaceous. So it's taking some of the characters, but they're slightly older, and continuing that story. So it's called Jurassic World Chaos Theory and coming on the 24th of May. I know Matt was a big fan of the Camp Cretaceous animated series. I never got around to watching any of it. So Chaos Theory is coming out 24th of May. La Brea returns for its third and final season. It is only 6 episodes, the final season. It's a shortened run. I think they're dropping them all as a box set as well, but that's coming on the 18th of April. It's funny when you post about this and the amount of people going, well, it is rubbish, but it's very, very enjoyable rubbish.
I watched the first season and I just paused and paused and paused for watching the second season. Then I paid for Paramount Plus again to watch some ridiculous reality stuff. And I thought, it's there. It's telling me I need to watch season two because I know obviously season three is coming up. So I was like, oh, shall I go back to watching La Brea? That is bonkers. But yeah, it's on my to watch list. So
yes, La Brea, for those of you that haven't found this wonderfully stupid show, a big sinkhole opens up in the center of Los Angeles, sucks a bunch of people through to a primeval world, which of course, as you would probably have gathered, is a primeval version of Los Angeles, sends them all back in history. So there is some time travel-y stuff involved in there, and that gets expanded a bit more in the second season. What happened was they knew the strike was coming up, and they were concerned that they weren't going to be able to get through all the episodes because it was usually a 13-episode season or a 10-episode season. And the cast were contracted for 10 episodes. But what they did was, because they didn't think they were going to be able to get through them all, they went to the cast and said, okay, we'll do 6 episodes and we'll pay for those 6 episodes. And then we will completely release you from your contract, which basically ends the show because the cast are no longer under contract. Because what would usually happen is the cast would have to wait and see whether the show is renewed or cancelled before they can put themselves up for other potential work. So rather than do that, they said, we're going to end it with a short run for a third season and we'll release you all from your contract. The cast all said, yes, okay, fine. They took the 6 episodes and then got released from their contract. So we always knew that when they announced that that was what was happening, that this was going to be the final season. So they have slightly compressed sort of 10 episodes into 6. But I mean, if you've not seen it, it's kind of cheesy. It's wonderfully bonkers. It's very fun and it's kind of trashy, an enjoyable, silly, trashy, fun show to watch. But La Brea season 3 and seasons 1 and 2 are already up on Paramount Plus. But that's coming on the 18th of April if you want to go and check that out on Paramount Plus in the UK. Also back for a third season is Resident Alien, which is Alan Tudyk's show. Wednesday the 17th of April, that lands on Sky Max. I'm very much looking forward to that coming back because I love Alan. It's a great, great series. And there was an interesting one that was announced over for Star Wars Day, which of course is May the 4th. Tales of the Empire, which, if that sounds familiar, it's because they did a run of things called Tales of the Jedi a few years ago. And this is effectively season two of Tales of the Jedi, except telling everything from the point of view of the dark side. It's following two different characters, because the Tales of the Jedi followed, I think, Count Dooku, sort of whilst he was still a Jedi, and Ahsoka, I think they did for that first season. With this, you've got Night Sister Morgan Elsbeth and former Jedi Barriss Offee are the two characters that they're following for this. So basically the same kind of thing. It's a series of shorts, so they're 15 minutes or so episodes. It's going to be following those two characters, jumping backwards and forwards between their stories. But they have shown a few clips of this in the trailer, and I think General Grievous shows up and a few other characters as well. So yeah, I think that's going to be a kind of interesting one. But that is, looks like it's going to be their big release for Star Wars Day on Disney Plus. So May the 4th for Tales of the Empire. Worth checking that one out, because I mean, Dave Filoni's animated Star Wars things have been incredible. So yeah, definitely one worth looking at. On to some other bits of news. Interesting bit of information dropped about the future of the Grand Tour. We knew a couple of months ago, because it was last November, it was announced that the current presenting trio, which is Clarkson, Hammond and May, of the Grand Tour, were not going to do any more of it. Basically, Clarkson expanded on that a little bit later, saying it would become rather more challenging when you're fat and old, basically. So, you know, they've been doing this for 34 years together. And he also says they're struggling to come up with new and interesting ideas, saying, I've driven cars higher than anyone else and further north than anyone else. We've done everything you can do with a car. When we had a meeting about what we were going to do next, people just threw their arms up in the air. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's got to a point where they just don't know what else to do. And they want to go on off and do other things. Clarkson's still doing his farm show. James May's doing travelogues and the O'Cook series. And Hammond's got some stuff in the works as well. So they are sort of doing other individual shows, but they're not going to be doing any more Grand Tour. I think they've got a couple of episodes which they have filmed in the bag. There's maybe one more left to come, I think. But what has been announced is Studio Lambert, who are the people behind Gogglebox and The Traitors, have basically been given the license to be able to develop a new version of the Grand Tour, which would be new presenters. We don't know who those new presenters will be, but Clarkson, Hammond and May said if Amazon want to carry on, they have our blessing to go and do something with it. We don't want to do it anymore, but you know, if they want to hand it over and pass the mantle to somebody else, then absolutely, you know, go ahead. So it's sort of going to be interesting to see what they come up with, whether they stick with the sort of adventure format thing that they've been doing for the later series, or whether they go back to the earlier studio kind of idea. We just don't know at the moment, and who the presenters might be. I mean, of course, this actually, when the initial news dropped, was in November, at the same time, in fact, the same week that they announced that Top Gear was going to be rested because of the accident that almost killed Freddie Flintoff. Technically, I mean, Paddy McGuinness and Chris Harris are kicking around. So, I mean, you could bring those guys over, I guess. Freddie, obviously, I don't think he's going to get involved again with another car show. I mean, the only slight fly in the ointment of that is Paddy McGuinness has taken over the morning slot on Radio 2. So, I mean, he's going to be tied up on that as well. There is also talk of them doing a travel show together, although I don't think that's been officially confirmed, but there's talk of them doing a new travelogue show for the BBC, which isn't going to be car-based. It's just going to be the pair of them travelling Europe together, which is kind of an interesting one.
Sounds like the BBC are trying to hold on to them, making sure they don't go elsewhere.
Yeah.
Like, let's give you a format, because, you know, we let you down because of the accident and you were contracted to more. What if we give you this to stay with us? You know, yeah. There could be a little bit of that playing around, knowing that the Grand Tour might be being refreshed, and wouldn't it be sort of like serendipitous for them to take the presenters again for the BBC because of their muck-ups and accidents and things like that. So
yeah, I mean, of course, the other thing is Prime Video is an international show, and Grand Tour was always supposed to be an international show. I mean, the first season of it, they travelled around the world, and then the second season of it, they decided that was far too much effort and plunked the tent in basically in Clarkson's back garden and did the show from there. And then they dispensed of the tent and decided they couldn't bother with doing any of that at all and just went back to doing the road trip shows. So don't know what they're going to come up with, whether what sort of format it will be, but the presenters don't necessarily need to all come from the UK. I mean, you've got car nuts around the world. You could, Jay Leno's probably pushing it a bit at this point, but I mean, you know, there are big people that are massively into cars that you could potentially go and tap to bring in as presenters of something like the Grand Tour. And I suspect they are going to go with known people, whether it is former Top Gear presenters, whether it's somebody else that is just well known as a car fanatic. I don't know, but I suspect they are going to go for names. I mean, I know this isn't your sort of show, and I know you certainly didn't watch the original Grand Tour. I mean, any particular thoughts on this?
Matt LeBlanc, are you still free?
Yeah, maybe.
No, I mean, I just think it is really interesting. There's a lot of press, and I know that when we were on and talking about it previously, I said, let's just rest it. Let's just rest the format, wait a while, let time pass and bring it back at the right time. Because I think if you rush with something like this, you're going to get a lot of negative press. Because for some reason, a car program like this gets so much coverage and so much press and discussion. I think it might just be wise to rest it. I know they're going to Studio Lambert because Studio Lambert are very successful with their formatting, but don't overdo it because it could go the wrong way and then it could be another disaster on their hands.
That is the thing. I mean, Studio Lambert are an interesting group of people in terms of what they have come up with. I mean, who would have thought something like Gogglebox would ever work, you know? And The Traitors has been an absolutely enormous hit. So, I mean, I know that was based on another format anyway, but I mean, I'm kind of intrigued to see what they come up with for this. I think it's an interesting one. And I think you're right. I think if they just try and take the same format and shove some new presenters in, I don't think that's going to work. I think you probably need to try and do something slightly different with it. But good luck to them. I mean, we'll see what they come up with. It is something they're developing at the moment, so there is no guarantee that Prime see what Studio Lambert present them and go, yes, we'll run with it. You know, they may decide that they don't like the idea and, you know, it all falls to bits. But that apparently are the people that are developing it at the moment. Sticking with Prime and streaming stuff, they announced that they are going to launch MGM Plus in the UK, which is effectively what they're doing is they're taking what was Lionsgate Plus, mashing it into what they currently have, which is the MGM channel, and mashing those two services into one thing. So if you are currently a Lionsgate Plus subscriber through Prime Video, because you could sign up for that as an independent separate thing, but if you have a Prime Video channel, which is the Lionsgate Plus channel, you should have had an email by now telling you that when your next renewal comes up, you're going to get shifted onto the MGM channel. And then in the middle of May, the MGM channel is going to become MGM Plus. And what they have done is they've moved all the content that they can off Lionsgate Plus onto the MGM channel in preparation for it becoming MGM Plus. So that's going to be Outlander, where Outlander airs. It's the way the Power franchise is going. Things like The Serpent Queen, BMF is going on there. P-Valley, Hightown. The only thing that might not come across are some of the things which they bought in on Lionsgate Plus. So things like Doom Patrol, which was on Lionsgate Plus, but probably won't make it across onto MGM. It may, I don't know, but there are probably issues with that. It's going to be basically all the Stars content that is getting shifted across onto that by the sounds of it. That's kind of interesting. And yeah, if you are already a Lionsgate Plus subscriber, you don't need to do anything. They're just going to move your subscription from one thing to another. If you want to go and sign up for it, it is actually slightly cheaper than Lionsgate Plus by about 50p. I think it's £4.49 rather than being £5. So it is a little bit cheaper than Lionsgate Plus was. But yeah, it's the middle of May, I think it's going to become MGM Plus in the UK. So yes, it is an additional channel you've got to play for if you want to be able able to go and watch the Power franchise and Outlander, but it's no worse than what you had previously with it being on Lionsgate Plus. There is slightly annoying that Amazon owns, obviously, both Prime Video and MGM at this point. So there is a little bit of price gouging going on there, because you could argue that they could just shove it all on Prime. But this is how it's been done. So if you want to be able to watch the rest of Outlander when it returns later this year, and the Power franchise and all that sort of stuff, will be on MGM Plus. I don't know whether you ever picked up any of that.
This is my classic waste of money, Dave. I got Lionsgate Plus to watch The Great.
Right.
Never got round to watching The Great. Heard the rumors early on that it was going, and so I unsubscribed. So basically, I paid for 2 months of the channel, never watched the program I actually logged on to watch, and so would not benefit from this. And I do at some point, way in the future, probably now, do want to go and finish The Great, because it was such a good program. I remember watching the first season, but until it's settled and they sorted it, I won't be watching it straight away.
Yes. And then, of course, they ran episodes of The Great on Channel 4 as well. So
yeah, you know, they did. Yeah. So, you know, I paid money. MGM made a little bit of money out of me. No, it was Lionsgate back then. Lionsgate made a little bit of money out of me.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, that will be happening. If you're currently a Lionsgate customer, your next renewal date, you'll find that you're being switched over to MGM, and then they are rebranding the MGM channel as MGM Plus in the middle of May. But all the content is basically moving across, or a lot of the content is moving across. And if you want to go and sign up to it, the only difference between Lionsgate Plus and MGM Plus is obviously there'll be more stuff on there, because there'll be all the MGM stuff on there as well, but also it's not running as a separate entity, so you can only get it as a channel. You can't get it like go to lionsgateplus.com or mgmplus.com and sign up there. You can only get it in the UK through an Amazon channel. So that's all the news we've got for this week. Just some highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week. We have The Good Doctor return for its seventh and that's final season as well, I think. That's coming to Sky Witness on the 10th of April. That's the medical drama from David Shaw with Freddie Highmore. That will be back for one final time, 10th of April for that. Also on the 10th of April, as we were discussing earlier, Race Across the World season 4. That starts at 9 p.m. on BBC One. So that will be dropping on there. There is a new show coming to Netflix called Baby Reindeer, which looks kind of interesting and slightly odd. Based on a compelling true story, the hit 2019 Edinburgh Fringe one-man stage play follows writer-performer Richard Gadd's warped relationship with his female stalker and the impact it had on him as he ultimately is forced to face a deep, dark, buried trauma. It's called Baby Reindeer. That just looked really intriguing, but 11th of April for that on Netflix if you want to check that out. The big release this week is, of course, Fallout. That is coming to Prime Video on the 11th of April. I'm so excited for this. It's from Westworld's Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, set in LA in Vault 33, based on the hugely popular video game. It looks like it's very, very much kept the vibe of the video game for it. They seem like they're fans of the game. There is a story that dropped this morning as well that apparently it's not officially been confirmed for a second season, but if Amazon do decide they're going to make a second season of it, they've been given a $25 million tax credit to move the filming to LA, because it was filmed in sort of in and around New York and New Jersey apparently for season one. So season two will be filmed in LA if they decide to make it. So, but the fact that they've just been given one of the largest California filming tax credits that has ever happened of $25 million for that show seems like it will probably get a second season, but they've not officially announced that yet. But season one of Fallout coming on the 11th of April to Prime Video, that's going to be great. Late Night Lycett, as we spoke about earlier, Channel 4 at 10 p.m. taking over The Last Legs Lot, and that's on the 12th of April. That is Friday night. So Late Night Lycett season 2, go watch that just so you can find out what stories that have come out and have been faked. Midsummer Murders back for season 23-ish. That's on the 14th of April at 8 p.m. It's a weird one that ITV seem to throw episodes on when they feel like it, but there is an episode going out on the 14th of April at 8 p.m. of Midsummer Murders, and it is technically the first episode of season 23. I don't know whether there's going to be more episodes coming after that, because they seem to do an episode or two episodes and then don't show it for months, and then it's weird. Yeah, so there's that. Blue Lights returns for its second season. That's the police drama set in Belfast, coming to BBC One on the 15th of April at 9 p.m. And Changing Ends, the Alan Carr series that is sort of semi-autobiographical, that is getting its linear broadcast on ITV on the 16th of April at 8:30. So if you didn't go and watch it on ITVX, it is still on ITVX, you can go catch it there, but it is also coming to ITV as well. So it's getting its broadcast on there, and it is coming back for a second season there as well. So you can go and check that out there. So that's everything for this week. There is some good stuff. Late Night Lyset, I will definitely be looking at. Fallout, I will be definitely looking at. Baby Reindeer, I'm very intrigued by.
Definitely want to see Late Night Lyset, as discussed earlier. I want to see the PR spin. I do love Blue Lights, but I might wait to watch that. And then Changing Ends. Now, weirdly, for those people watching Interior Design Masters, they're dropping Changing Ends at the same time Interior Design Masters broadcast on BBC. So Alan Carr is going up against himself on two different channels. I found it really interesting marketing for ITV to do that. But I imagine what that's going to do is push more people to ITVX, which is probably part of their big ploy as well. So, no, I'm looking forward to that starting as well.
Yeah, as you say, the whole of season one of Changing Ends has been up on ITVX for a while now, so you can go and watch it right now. But yeah, there is a broadcast date for it on ITV. That is everything. If people want to contact you in the intervening weeks, where can they find you?
So they can follow me over on the social medias. I'm either at Grey the Geek or at Grey Panton. And yeah, I go back to work next Monday, so I've got a week of trying to catch up on lots of TV. I just recently posted my updated top 7 for 2024. If anyone wants to go on there, comment on that post and see what things have changed, dropped, climbed, etc. Happy to have a chat about what you think the best TV shows are of this year. So far.
Yes, go and check that out. For other people involved in the show, Beck's still away on hiatus at the moment. I don't know when she's going to be returning, but she's still off. Matt is over on entertainmenttalk.org for lots and lots more podcasts. I'm sure there will be some ranting about Man U this week. I think they drew against Liverpool, but not particularly convincingly by the sides of it. Then Daryl over at hollywoodnorthnews.net for all those TV series that you love, which are shot in Canada. For us, you can go to the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, on Blue Sky at Geektown, on Instagram at Geektown UK, TikTok at Geektown UK, and Threads at Geektown UK. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.